though it's just for one night, and then we'll be off 1 week and then back into it. But Acts chapter 11, if you would, please. Acts chapter 11, if you'll turn there, please. I came across a quote this day that went like this. There are three kinds of people in the world: those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who wonder what is happening. Now, I'm not sure which of that group you fall into tonight. Rather, you're one that makes things happen, or you watch things happen, or you're just always saying, what's going on? But anyhow, we're at a time here where if you're in the church, the body of Christ, or in chapters 11, 12, and 13 of the book of Acts, you better be in the group that helps make things happen, because lots going on here. All right, now get the timeline. Now we're talking about the Apostle Paul. Grace changes everything from church member to church leader. Now by the time you get to Acts chapter 13, you're about 13 years past the resurrection. So now for about 12 years now, up to this point, the Jews who believed at Pentecost have been conveying the gospel for the last 10 or 12 years to other Jews. They have not had a world vision. And God brings the pressure into their life to give them a vision, an experiential vision of what they're supposed to be doing. So God applies the heat. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. We talked about how the church began here and it spread. Paul is up here where he was born. He winds up down here. And during the narrative, this part of his life, as he goes from being, first of all, being lost to being saved, on the road to Damascus, he gets saved. He gets involved in ministry. And then for 3 years, he spends time out here. We have no biblical account of what happens during that time period. Then he winds up coming back to here. Then he winds up going back to Tarsus. And then during that time, there's a break. And during that time break, Peter goes off. He had the Cornelius experience. Then you have, at that point, then you have Paul is brought from Tarsus to Antioch. Now, the first 12 chapters of Acts centers in Jerusalem, okay, and the Jews. The rest of the book of Acts begins to center around the church at Antioch. The center of the central focus of Scripture about what's happening in the church in the book of Acts goes from here, the first half of Acts, to here. It goes from Jewish focus and Peter to Gentile focus and Paul. And then what happened, because when the pressure comes here, what happens when the persecution starts, you know, when Paul's doing the persecution, and then the church starts spreading. And then Paul seemed to have been the spearhead of the persecution. He gets saved and the persecution dies down. And then later on, while he's a Christian, then it picks back up under the political authority, and James is killed, and then Peter is in prison. Remember the story of Peter being in prison, and then they pray for him, and the angel comes. Remember that story? That happens during this time period here, okay? And so then, after all that happens, the gospel spreads here, over here, and then it's, it doesn't settle, but it's magnified in the Scripture of what's happening here. This becomes the center point. And Barnabas goes and gets Paul from here, starts a church at Antioch, and this is that transition is how Paul goes from being a church member, just being a part of the body of Christ, to being a key leader, okay? Now, we talked about this 2 weeks ago, how the gospel spread, it's already in your notes, how it spread culturally to for the first time to a Gentile. And then, now, we understand that there were probably Gentiles at Pentecost who were saved, but they most likely were Gentile proselytes, people who had converted to the Jewish faith, but were Gentile. And then geographically, it's now spreading outside of Rome. And then we talked about how to go from church member to church leader, the individual church members. We talked about 2 weeks ago about baptism, service, evangelism, persistence, and being pragmatic. Those were the five things we talked about 2 weeks ago. He was baptized. He sought companionship with God's people. He was involved in service/evangelism. He was persistent and working and doing what he could where he was at. And he was pragmatic. When the pressure came and he needed to, he left. Okay, and that all was a couple of weeks ago. Okay, so tonight we're here. Okay, the universal reality of the end of God's individual call to leadership. Now we're going to see how now he transitions now into a key leadership role. All right, we're in chapter 11, and what's happened here is in chapter 11 and verse 18. This is after, by the way, after the whole thing about Peter. Chapter 10 is the chapter where Cornelius, last time we see Paul is chapter 9 and verse 30, okay, where he goes off, or in this passage, not exactly verse 30, but he goes off and goes back to Tarshish, okay? And then you have Peter in chapter 10, with Cornelius, and Cornelius gets saved. And then chapter 11 begins, and the word comes back to Jerusalem, what happened to the Gentiles, and verse 18, and when they, the Jews, heard these things, the things about Cornelius, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. This is like a new thing. This is like one of those V8 moments. This is a V8 moment right here. For 12 years, they've been sharing the gospel to fellow Jews. And all of a sudden, oh, the Gentiles can be saved too. How about that? That's what he meant by go ye into all the world. Can I ask you a question? Have you ever, as a believer, gotten really on fire for God when you first got saved and you started growing and you were serving God? And maybe multiple years later, you're in a church service, you're having devotions, you're reading something. And all of a sudden, you have one of those aha moments. Oh, that's what that means. That's what's happening here. They're having an aha moment. Oh, the Gentiles can also be saved, okay? And that's what happened here. Now, when that happened, okay, that goes on, look at verse 19. Now they that were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, they traveled as far as Peneus and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word. So from that, they go there, okay? Then it goes on down in verse 22, and the tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which is at Jerusalem. Now they're hearing that all these other places now, this is like a breakout of the gospel, okay? And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. Now Antioch is about from here to the other side of Winston-Salem, okay? A bit past Winston-Salem. Almost where I was in Jonesville, a little past Jonesville, where we were a couple weeks ago, okay? So that's how far he went, okay? And they said, go there. There's Gentiles we hear getting saved. So Barnabas goes, verse 23, who when he came had seen the grace of God, was glad. Now Barnabas didn't start the church. He gets there, and they're already believers, okay? And exhorted them all that with the purpose of heart they might cleave to the Lord. So he's saying, look, you're now saved. You hold on to Jesus, okay? Now, verse 24, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and faith, and much people was added unto the church, to the Lord. So the church, the group is growing, okay? But look at verse 25. Now, here's where Paul now comes back on the scene. Then departed Barnabas to Tarshish to seek Saul. Now, he had been with Paul earlier, okay, after he'd gotten saved, but now he sees this, and he brings him back to Tarshish. And this is how, now watch this, he's just minding his business in Tarshish, doing his thing. We don't know, he's not having like citywide campaigns in Tarshish, he's not on the TV in Tarshish, he doesn't have a blog, he's just serving God there, okay? But now God's going to move. Now watch this, okay? I want you to understand a couple of things. First of all, the preparation of the call to leadership, okay? I want you to notice that God sometimes prepares us for leadership through the lives of others. Through the lives of others. Paul's just minding his business. And God calls him. Now listen to me. God is going to work in other people's lives sometimes to prepare that situation so your life can change. All right? Newsflash, it's not all about you. Okay? Now watch this. God might bringing you through a change in your life so that you can be the Barnabas to somebody else's Paul. I have a picture. I'm trying to get on the screen maybe by Sunday when we do the ministry updates. I have a picture of a sign. We had a couple of weeks ago for a revival. It says guest speaker or something, Tony Fassender speaking. And then under it, and my name was in letters that change out. Underneath that, it said, in letters that don't change out, Scott Bishop, pastor. That was like so cool. And what's cool about it was this. 15 years ago, when we came and started this church, we had no idea who Scott Bishop was. And I think he might have been in high school at that time. I'm not sure of the dates or whatever. But he gets saved, gets right with God, comes to this church, gets on fire with God, will charge hell with a squirt gun with no water in it, and God lights his light up, and then God calls him to be a preacher. And he's off his studies for the ministry, now he's there. That's what God does. God does things like that, okay? Next, he works through the ministry at hand. Now look at verse 26. Now Barnabas goes and gets Paul to help him. Now why would you get somebody like Paul to help you? Well, Paul like knows the Old Testament like pretty good. And these guys didn't have cell phones. These Christians in Antioch didn't have the Bible on their cell phone. They didn't have like multiple versions. What are you, a KJV and NIV and NAACP? What are you exactly? Okay? They didn't have that going on because there was no Bible like we have it. There was Old Testament stuff. They didn't have anything. So having an Old Testament scholar as a believer was like an asset. So he goes and gets this scholar in the Old Testament and brings him over. And what does he do? He doesn't come in and say, well, you know, I'm the Apostle Paul. I'm this wonderful guy. He just gets to work. Now watch this. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now what is Paul doing? He's probably just making tents and teaching the word of God. He's not the Apostle Paul. I'm reading a book right now about Churchill. I'm in 1896, 97. He's in India as a soldier and an officer. And he was walking around in 1897. Nobody says, oh, there goes Winston Churchill. He's a 23-year-old kid, you know, who loves to play polo. And so, which really lessens him in my mindset personally, but that's not in respect. He likes to play polo, which might give you polio. I'm not sure. But anyhow, I know it's not true. But anyhow, okay. But when in 1897, he wasn't Winston Churchill. And he here is not the Apostle Paul. He's just a guy doing the job at hand. Can I ask you a question? Are you the kind of person that God can just give you a job and you'll do it? Or do you always have to be the one that has to have the position? What, years ago, I was on staff at a church, and a guy came up to me and says, you know what I'm doing? And I said, no, what? He said, I'm running for deacon. And I was on staff. I didn't really know what that meant until they took me out for lunch. Then I realized what it meant to be running for deacon. Anybody ever runs for deacon, then the church ought to run as quick as they can the other direction. Anyhow, so ministry at hand. Then, okay, God uses not only that, but he also works with the conditions created by God. Now, verse 27, look at this. And in these days came a prophet, prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them, named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth. Now, a great famine is going to come through all the world. Now, when it says all the world, he's not saying it's going to happen on the Outer Banks. It was a figure of speech, which in that day meant the known world, which meant for them the space around the Mediterranean, the Roman government, the nation of Rome. And in that, and there's historical evidence that there were times of great famine, and especially in Jerusalem, okay? Now, what is the church? And this is the Gentiles. Listen, the Gentiles to Jews and Jews to Gentiles is not unlike, okay, the black-white issue in 1892 or 1776 or the current issue with the Arabs and the Jews over there. I mean, there was just like big gulf between the two, all right? But they get saved. Now watch what happens. Verse 29, and the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief. Now they're taking them a love offering. Now get that phrase, little side advertisement, well, not advertisement, but encouragement. When we think of the offering tonight and Sunday and Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday next week for the love offering for the evangelists, okay, you give as you can, as of your ability. You don't sit there and complain, I can't give anything. Why are they taking the love offering? Because we have to pay the guy. It's not in the budget. We're going to give him a love offering. You give what you can. That's what they were doing here. They took up a love offering for him. Look at verse 30, which they also did and sent to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and who? I'm going to ask it again. More of you answer, so I think you're paying attention. By Barnabas and who? Thank you. Good brothers. Okay. So God uses the creation. Now he's using these. This is, Paul has nothing to do with this. God is preparing him for leadership through avenues he could never imagine. Now God's doing the same thing in your life. God is working all around us. But we get so obsessed with what we can see at the moment, we can't, and we're so, how many of you had cataract surgeries? Raise your hand and say, thank Jesus. Anybody? Amen. Amen. Hey, that'll make you a shouting Baptist. If you've never had cataract surgery, oh, it's magnificent. It's like a Benny Hinn meeting, but you pay for it. And, whatever. You know, it's like, really, they do it, and when it all, you can see. You can see stuff you never knew you could. You know what? You can see stuff you didn't realize you couldn't see before. Oh, you mean it's actually got defined lines. Okay, yeah, that's wonderful. And for me, I could take my glasses off and leave them off, and that was like a Martin Luther King moment, free at last, free at last. But the point is that we can't see what God's up to. I don't know what God's up to. I mentioned earlier about the after-school thing. I've seen more. There's a need. I have a burden. That's all I can tell you. That's all I can tell you. You want to know more? Well, I can't help you. I don't know anymore. I don't know what God's going to do. But what we're going to do is just let God lead. And God's working in your life. You know, it didn't work in my life today. I got this morning, worked all day at the office, and came home, took care of the kids, and came to church. God didn't do anything. Let me tell you something. God was at work all day long in your life. You can't see it. You're not supposed to. God's doing what he's doing. Just let it be enough to you. What Paul did was say, you know what? I'm just going to do what I know is right. And most of the time he was in Antioch, that he was awake, he was probably making, or at least not all of it, but a significant part of it, he was probably making tents and trying to live, trying to make a living. So he'd been bivocational here, most likely. Okay? Now, watch this. Notice the dynamics of called leadership. Okay? Now we shift, okay? Chapter 12, you have Herod. Now this is another break. And here's why, when you read scripture, particularly narratives, you've got to keep the post in line of the times, okay? There's a time gap here, okay? Verse 30 concludes, he's going down there with a love offering. But now, chapter 12, verse 1, about the time of Herod, the king stretched forth the hand and vexed certain of the church. Now here Herod now, the king, this current Herod, is going to do it. Verse 2, he kills James. In verse 3, he sees that makes him so popular, he imprisons Peter. And then you have the whole thing about Peter and the prisoners and all that kind of stuff, and he goes out, okay? Meanwhile, back at the ranch, drop down to verse 25 of verse 12, okay? Now comes, okay, but let's look at verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied, and that's what's happening there. Now back at the ranch, verse 25, back on the issue of Paul, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So now they go down to Jerusalem with love offering. That's 300 miles, okay? Now, you can make 300 miles in like 4 hours on 95, depending on how fast you drive, 4 to 5 hours on 95. If you pick up 95 at Rocky Mount and you go 95 straight south, you can make 400 miles or 300 miles pretty quick, relatively speaking. Because the speed limit, I think, is 70, I think. Okay, which means, I don't know what it means, but that's what they say it is, okay? So if you, but anyhow, whatever it is. But you go down on the path, but back here you could, it's a long trip. This is he's walking. Okay, these shoes are made for walking here, and they're walking down the barn down Jerusalem and walking back. Okay, that's what's happening here. Okay, now he comes back. Okay, now here, what's going to happen? Look at the dynamics. Look at verse 13. Now there was in the church, there was Antioch. Now they come back to Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simon, and called, what it's called, Niger, which we don't know much about, and most of these guys we don't know much about, Lucas, Assyrian, and Manner, which would have been brought up in with Herod, the Tetras, and Saul. So you have these guys in, we're not going to talk about them because they're not important to what we're talking about here, but they're guys who are involved in leadership, okay, in the church, okay? Now look at verse 2. As they, now God's going to call Paul from this group. Now Paul is in an official capacity going to go from sitting in the pew to standing behind the pulpit. He's going to go from his name being on the church roll to his name being on the deacon boards or on a team leadership role. He's going from not, now watch this, he's not going from being unimportant to important. Please understand this. He's not going from being unimportant because he's just a church member to somebody who's really important because he's in a leadership role. That's not what's happening here. And if you think that about leadership, you are mistaken. You're not more important to God because you're in leadership position. What you do have is you have more responsibility. You see? And if you ever think, just this is, I won't charge you for this one. If you ever think, well, it must be pretty nice being the pastor. You only work 3 or 4 hours a week, you know? Or like one deacon who told me one time years ago, he says, you know, preacher, you'd make more money per hour if you didn't preach as long. You could make more money per hour. And but no, and you think, well, that's just not much responsibility. Oh, let me tell you, you run to Hebrews 13 and verse 17 that says that I am responsible for the souls of the people in the church. What you get, it's like a guy running for deacon doesn't need the job because nobody in his right mind would want to be a deacon unless God called them to be a deacon. Okay? And nobody in their right mind would be a pastor with the eternal consequence of unless God called them to be a pastor. So when I speak to you with authority like I do from behind this pulpit, it is not authority that is in me, it's authority I have from God's word. That's why. And that's why I try to keep it separate. I try not to give you my opinion. I try not to. And sometimes, most times I succeed. Sometimes I probably fail because my opinion doesn't matter. It's what the Word of God teaches. Okay? But anyhow, so he's not going from being unimportant to important, but he's going from being a church member to a church leader. Now, watch what happens here, okay? First of all, it's connected. Is that right? Yeah, leaders come from being connected. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, from connected and faithful people. In other words, where does God, when God calls us to a job, to a leadership role, where does he go find the lead? He doesn't find a headhunter to find somebody who's got a bunch of personality and like a position. He doesn't go to the church family and find out, well, who of you have a business degree? We'll put you in charge of the money. No. Watch what happens, verse 1. And as they, who's they? There's a list in verse 1. They minister to the Lord. Now, many translations say worship. Problem with that, it's not what the word means. The word means minister. It's translated every time else in the scripture about serving. They were serving the Lord. Do you know where you get leaders from? You get them from people who serve the Lord. That's why, for example, when we're looking for deacons at the church, okay, we go really quickly to who comes on Wednesday night. That's it. Now, if somebody can't come on Wednesday night because they have to work, then we back up and we would consider that also. But if they're not connected and faithful in the church, the last thing you need is a guy coming on Thursday night to a deacon's meeting who didn't come on Wednesday night to church. And you don't want somebody who's holding the Word of God up and teaching it on Sunday who never comes any other time. It's really not what you want. God puts people in leadership who are faithful and they're connected with other people. It's not connected like, well, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Well, I'm friends with a pastor. Since I'm friends with a pastor, then I'll get the job in the church. No. Doesn't mean anything. Not who you know like that, but connected in the sense that you're connected to the local body and you're committed, okay? So no second, leaders come as a result of Christians who pray and fast, and they fasted. That's an act of worship, it is, but it's fasting. The idea of fasting is prayer is with it, and there's communication going on between them and God. They prayed and fasted. If you want God to use you, and by the way, when we as a church choose leaders, this whole thing about the questionnaire, the whole thing earlier about snapping and all that kind of stuff, a little humor there, but it's important that you write that, because what's going to happen is this, our current leadership is going to look at those who volunteered for what in our church role, and they're going to pray and seek God's face to show us what he wants us to do and who he wants where. Then, now watch this, God leads his leadership. His leadership comes through the filling and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Through the filling and the leading, okay? This is where leaders come from. Leaders come from connected and faithful people. Leaders come when Christians pray and fast. Leaders come through the filling and leading of the Holy Spirit. And he said, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost said, separate to me Barnabas and Saul. We don't have time to dissect, there's a time what it is, but the Holy Spirit leads us when the Word of God controls us. And then leaders come, okay, now watch this, by the recognition and confirmation by the local church. That's how it works here. That's what happens here. And they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them and sent them away. This is an acknowledgement by the whole church. This church, through its leadership, is acknowledging. And now, in verse 4, Paul has gone from church member to church. He's a missionary now. He's the first missionary journey happening now. That's how he got there. This is how he's gotten from the road to Damascus, from saved to lost, or from lost to saved, to now being a church member to being a church leader. Now, that's what God does. This is how God works. And here's the deal. Do not mistake leadership with position. Do not mistake leadership with position. All of you in this room are leaders. You lead. You lead Josh. You do. You lead your kids. You lead your wife. You lead your friends. Nationwide has a leader. And Horizon has a leader, a Christian leader over here. That's right. The Christmas shop has a leader, okay? The boat shop over in Wanchee is building a boat. Brother Chris and Pastor Jeremy, they're leaders over there. Now they weren't hired there as position. We need a position of a spiritual leader. But they're leaders in the fact they influence other people, and God can use you as a leader in those particular areas if you'll let him. But these things need to be true in our lives. Now, with that said, this week, let me give you three applications and we'll land the plane. First of all, okay, I want to encourage you. Let us be faithful in the life that we have in the place that we are. Just be faithful in the life we have where we are. Don't get sucked into, I was talking to a lady at home someplace today, some business. I said, great day on the Outer Banks. She said, yeah, it's great, but I had to work inside. I said, well, you might as well enjoy the life you have. Not the life you wish you have, but the life you have. She said, yeah, but I just enjoy it. I said, y'all too. I said, you know, I thought to myself, a lot of people that wish they could have a job, wish they could work. But anyhow, it's another message. But be faithful in the life that you have. If you want God to use you as a leader in your place of work, if you want God to lead you, you know, want to use you in your place in the family, then just be faithful. There should never be a doubt in your kid's mind. Well, where's Dad on Sunday night? Where's Dad on Wednesday night? Where's Dad on Sunday morning? Well, unless I'm working, unless I'm sick, I'm in the house of God. I'm just faithful at it. You say, well, that's being legalistic. No, it's being faithful. Just being faithful to the life you have. Second, let us pray that God will give us the leaders we need. That's certainly true in the political realm, is it not? But it's also true in the church, and it's also true in our lives. You can apply that. Lord, help me to lead the way I should lead. Help me to be what I should be. But we need to pray that God would give us the leaders, that we would be what God would have us to be. And then finally, let us be open. Let us be open to God leading us into the role as leader. Let's be open. Stop wandering around and marking time. Stop just filling your life with motion. But be open. That's why we have track week. This little thing right here, okay? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I'm going to use what I can. Just be open to what God wants to do in your life. You never know. We had breakfast. Was it yesterday morning? Yes. That's yesterday. I think this week, Tuesday's on. Yeah, that's okay. Yes. I was confused too. That was a trick. Yesterday we had breakfast. Yes. Went to Mickey D's. Woo. All right. Well, anyhow, we won't talk about that. We went to McDonald's. We go back to his house, and his neighbor, who's from up north somewhere, comes over. She's leaving. They're talking. I think they had been witnessing there. We're talking. So she's leaving. She has a house here. So I take one of these things out and say, by the way, if you ever need anybody to go by your house, because you're in New Jersey somewhere, up north somewhere, I said, and just give you a report after a storm, take my phone number with you. She took it. Then we were talking. It's a long drive up there, and evidently her husband's sick, or whatever. And I just happened to have, well, anyhow, I did. I had. Anyhow, I don't have any. They're all gone. Okay, you know those things we made on Living with the Assurance of Your Salvation, the three CDs? They all got bought. We're all out, I think. We're all out. Anyhow, that was the last one I had, was in my car. I said, would you mind, you got that long trip, would you mind if I gave something to listen to? She said, no. She said, well, my son's doing the car. I said, well, I'll just take it. Yeah, so I gave it to her. Then she says, well, you know, my husband's sick, and some people have asked for the preacher to come by, but he doesn't want that. Maybe he'll listen to this. I said, well, maybe so. Wouldn't that be wonderful? He listened to all six CDs and heard the gospel six times. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Building on what they've already done and sharing Christ. You never know. The point is just be open. Don't be so narcissistic about life. Well, I don't like how life's going. Well, then build a bridge and get over it. And just accept the fact that this is the life you have right now. And let God use you. And that's how you get from being a church member to being a leader that God can use, either in an official capacity in a church or just in your life. Let's pray. Father, bless these truths. Help us. Help us to be the leaders we ought to be. Either positionally, if we have one, if not an official position, Lord, acknowledge position in the church. Help us to lead in the life that we have by following Paul's example. God, thank you for this evening. Bless the folks. In Jesus' name, amen.